worship you, Lord, with all of my heart. Boldly approach your throne, grateful for all you've done. I come to worship you, Lord, with all of my heart. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord, oh my soul, let my whole life praise you, Lord. Let all in me praise the glory of
Malcolm Crowe, and I'm the team leader for the Edinburgh Elim Healing Rooms team. The Healing Rooms is a drop-in service provided by Edinburgh Elim Healing Rooms team, It's a team of trained men and women who would just love to meet you. Our heart and desire is to hear your need and to reach out to Jesus and to release healing to your heart, to your body, and to seek Him to meet your needs. When you come into the healing rooms, a greeter will introduce themselves to you and take you down into the hub and offer you some refreshments. You'll be offered a seat and they'll be very happy to discuss with you what the morning is going to be looking like for you. You'll be introduced to the ministry team, which will probably be two or three men and women. They will hear what your needs are and will pray for you. Well, we will invite you to just share with us whatever your needs may be. It might be something, some physical healing. You might need some emotional healing. There might be a relationship issue. It could be finance. It could be anything at all. Because our heart and belief is that Jesus cares about every part of you. Well, who can come to the healing rooms? Everybody, anybody. You don't have to be a church member. You don't have to be going to church. You don't have to be religious, as you might say. You can come just as you are, and we will welcome you in the name of Jesus and seek His heart to bring restoration to your life, to your body, to your soul, and to help to meet your need. Well, the healing rooms is based in the Edinburgh Elim Church building at Morningside Road, just up from Holy Corner. And it happens every second Saturday in the month between the hours of 10 in the morning and 12.
Hi, Pastor Gordon Allen from Edinburgh Elim Church here, and I'm here to extend an invitation to you to join with us on the last Tuesday of every month for Revival Ready. Revival Ready is a training and equipping gathering of like-minded people to gather around the Word of God and to be trained to be more effective in being able to handle the Word of God and be able to communicate the Word of God. And my friend Jaziel is going to tell you a little bit more about what that's going to look like.
Yeah, it's going to see important topics about apologetics, kind of Christian worldview and non-Christian worldview, life and work of Jesus, Islam, and much more. So we would like to invite you, and you are being very welcome.
Yes, we'd love to see you there. You're going to learn more about the Word of God, equipped for day-to-day living and equipped for those conversations about faith and life that you will have with your friends, your family, your colleagues. We want to see every believer in our city and in our nation revival ready. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you.
good. Very good. We're in Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 11. Great verses for any preacher. Great verses for anyone who ever ministers the word of God. Because in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, the Lord says, So is my word that goes out from my mouth, for it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You know, it's good to know that it's not about Gordon, isn't it? Thank you for your support there. It's really good to know it's about the word of God that comes from heaven. Now, hopefully it'll be coming out of my mouth and a bit some of Gordon's, but mostly the Lord, one would hope. You know, and it's his word that will not return to him empty. His word that will not return to him void. Who knows that we are made for more than captivity? We are made for more than compromise, and we're made for more than comfortability. Isaiah's writing to people who are entrapped in slavery. We described that slavery last week as almost being like a robot with a heartbeat. Of those who'd assimilated into a system, into a culture, into a pattern of believing that actually was really, really distant from their heritage, from their history, and who God had called them to be as a nation. And the Lord God Almighty sends his prophet Isaiah to the people and to give them that little bit of a wake-up call. To reach them at that point of need, because the start of the chapter, and you can read that later, it says, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come you who've got nothing to no money to come to buy and to eat. And then goes on, he invites them into covenant, he invites them to return in that place of returning to him and repenting for those wrong things that have been done, because nothing happens till we return to the Father. It's the most important thing. You can go to sleep now after you've made sure that in your heart you've returned to the Father. You know, and in the next 25 minutes or so, maybe slightly more, we'll see. You know, we'll get through this. But, you know, we need to return to the Father. Our heartbeat needs to be his heartbeat. It involves coming to the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ, that we've been singing about and people have been declaring about today. But we were made for more than captivity. I wonder what keeps you captive. Moving from being captive to being captivated by the love of Jesus. To that vision of his that just fills your heart, fills your mind, fills your life and says, this is what I was created for. We weren't made, and you weren't, and I, we were not made for compromise. We were made to be fully alive in Christ. To not be living in the flesh, living in the world, but to be living and made alive by the Spirit of God. Fulfilling the Father's heart and the Father's plans for our life. Comfortability, it doesn't mean that we're not to, you know, we're to get rid of nice clothes, right, nice houses, or nice seats even, you know. It's almost 2 years since we've had the sanctuary refurb done, isn't it? It's pretty good, isn't it? Time flies quickly, though. You know, it's not talking about that, it's talking about the posture of our hearts. Where it's like, I can't be bothered serving the Lord. Yeah, I'll not go out to that meeting. No, I'm not going to get involved. I'll let somebody else do it. We're not made for that. We're made for passion. We're made to be fully alive. It says in Galatians 5 and verse 1, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Don't let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That slavery, that captivity, it can be physical, it can be mental, and it can be emotional pressures that's there. It is most definitely spiritual that comes of the enemy wanting to try and capture us and prevent us from being fully alive in Christ and prevent us from discovering our true identity as sons and daughters of the Most High God and from making a kingdom difference in the world that we live in. That slavery, that captivity, it is anything and it is anyone that stops you from being fully alive in Christ. That prevents you from being changed from glory into glory. And that would want to rob you of the opportunity of going into all the world, wherever your world might be, and preaching and teaching and declaring the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. Isaiah is writing to the people then, and also by the Holy Spirit to us today. He's writing to inspire a fresh faith and a fresh focus on the God of the Word and in the Word of God. And you can't really split the two. The God of the Word and the Word of God. I want to ask you that question, and maybe it ties in for some of the ladies who were at the conference yesterday. Where is God at work? Where are the obvious things and the obvious ways that in your life right now God is at work and you point your finger and to say, it's here, it's here, it's here? Where are, and for some of us maybe it's the where is and the how of, how's God at work if it appears that nothing is happening? The Bible speaks very much about seasons, doesn't it? And there are times, there are seasons of fruitfulness, you know, and Paul the Apostle writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he says, preach the word in and out of season. And there are times where it's as though everything is flowing really well. You know, it's as though there are angels opening doors for you. It's like the Holy Spirit is just preparing people who come into your pathway and they're just ready to receive what God's what wants to say into their life through you. There are times where it seems as though there's blessing being heaped upon blessing and a multiplication of fruitfulness in your life. And then there's moments, isn't there? Where it's like the skies are like brass. Where it seems as though there's pressures and there's problems on the outside and the inside. And the Apostle Paul writes about that as well, you'll be pleased to know. In his letters to Corinthians and Peter to the church in his letters too, talks about suffering, talks about those times where it's like, God, where are you? And constantly and consistently through Scripture, there is a hope that comes. That God has not left us. That God has not neglected us, that His word is still powerful, His word is still effective, and His word wants to be released into our hearts and lives. There are times when it appears on the surface as though nothing is happening, and that's because God's working in the inside. Those moments where, you know, and you do have to ask the question, God, if you're doing nothing, is it because there's sin there? Those things that would want to separate us and from God's plan and God's purpose for our lives? We need to deal with that. Is it because there's opposition? There's an enemy that has to be dealt with and spiritual warfare that has to happen in order for us to break through that thing, because you know the enemy of our soul does not want us being fully alive in Christ. Does not want the word of God finding a resting place in our heart and becoming truly and fully flourishing in fruitfulness. Is it because we're in a wilderness situation? Is it we're in that moment of waiting where actually God's given us His word, He's said something to us, but it's also, it's not yet. You just need to wait. We had a wee moment of that this morning with Elaine, just talking about that moment of waiting, and I have to just confirm the word that she was bringing, because Winifred had said to me, I've got this picture and it's like a beautiful garden, it's so peaceful and it's so still, and I believe that God's just inviting us to that place of peace this morning. To be in that place, to rest in that place, to wait in that place. And that's really good if you're already in a place of peace. But see if you're in a place of frustration, see if you're in a place of turmoil. That can be the most difficult place to be. But yet the invitation from the Father is to come and to wait, and a little bit about that later on. Maybe it's about character development. Where God says, you know, I've got plans and purposes for you. But the plans and purposes I've got for you, if you entered into them right now with where you're at, with your character, with your thinking, with your, you know, with your life, even with your lifestyle, you know, it's just going to wreck you. There's some character development. And he begins to highlight and say, you need to work on this, 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 and this. Bring it. Merge it together. Sometimes it's that we've got character, but that gift that comes to us and the word of God that comes and wants to release us into ministry, into opportunity, we need to develop that. I mean, we'll all have L plates on this side of heaven. We'll all be growing and we'll all be all new things to learn till we breathe our last and step into eternity. We'll always be learning, but there can be God's word, God's gift in us, but we still need to be building and developing that. Maybe it's just it's the whole thing of timing and the timing of God where it's like now but not yet. And verse 8 invites the nation of Israel for you and I to begin to be in that place of never settling for God's word as being an unfulfilled, frustrated history. Because verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Are the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out with joy. You'll be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills are going to burst into song before you, and the trees of the fields as though they're going to be clapping their hands. Instead of thorn bush, there will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed." You see, God's word builds for eternity into your life and into your situations. We are never to settle for God's word as just being unfulfilled, frustrated history in our life. But I want to say to you, as God comes and breathes fresh hope into his word and the reality of it for your situation, maybe you feel as though you're pulling down some prophetic words out of the, from the shelf and blowing off some cobwebs from them. I want to say that God's word is a present day prophetic possibility for you and for me. It is not about frustrated history of saying, "Oh, that's never going to be. It can't be." You know, we just take a heavenly huff if that's the case. "God, you said, hasn't it happened?" We're like a child who wants that present and won't wait to Christmas Day if we do that. He invites his readers to pursue God's best for their lives. Isaiah knew that this pursuit will ultimately guide you towards God's word and towards God's will for your life. You will never fulfill his will for you for your life unless you are reading, living, and applying his word to and in and through your life. We need to get into the word of God. We need to know what it says for us and for those around about us. There are plenty of people who want to tell you what the word of God isn't. There are plenty of people who want to rubbish and put down this book and kind of say, "Oh, it's history, if that, and that's all that it is." Say, no, the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. We need to know what the word says, because as we know the word, we get to know the Father, we get to know the Son, and we encounter the Spirit. When we get into the word of God, it stirs our hearts and saying, "Lord, would you do it again? Lord, would you do it now? Lord, would you do it through me?" Oops, there it is. It's out there. In that moment of prophetic, word-inspired enthusiasm, you're like, "Lord, use me." Hallelujah. And you go from captivity. You go from compromise. You go from comfortability, saying, "Lord, I'm in. Lord, I want your word in my life, and I want those words that have been spoken over my life to be real, to be active, to be flourishing, and to be fruitful." I want to say that the word of God, it must be productive. The word says, Father God says and speaks through Isaiah, he says, "It will not return to me empty." There are no empty and wasted words with the Lord. I want to tell you, there are no empty or wasted words with the Lord. So therefore, our responsibility in that moment is not to disregard them or to treat them lightly. As the Lord begins to reveal the secrets of his heart and his plans and his purposes for our life, we can't just say, "Oh, that's great." Well, that kind of, that shower of amnesia that could easily come through us as we step through those doors or the front doors and into the week. God pours into our lives in this place, in our gathered moments as well as in our scattered moments. Yes. But it's so that we might be encouraged, so that we might be built up, and actually so that we might apply it and be changed by it in order to change others for the good news of Jesus. Don't disregard the word of God and the words from Lord. Do not treat them lightly. Therefore, I would like to ask you to think about what has already been spoken over your life as a believer. Uh-huh. I want you to begin to recall and give thanks and begin to maybe revisit and press into those scriptures that are Rhema word activation, that now word of God that comes, and in that moment, something just comes truly alive. I want you to begin to visit and revisit those words of Scripture that are Logos principles that have been applied to your life and from those early moments of coming to faith. And maybe you don't do it just quite as much as the Word of God says that you should be doing and should be living. Maybe there's a revisit to saying, Lord, what does your Word say? If your Word says it, I'm going to live it, I'm going to do it, it's going to be how I am. Those prophetic words, it's the Father's heartbeat towards you to equip you. Things that have come to pass that are the foundations of your faith where you can point back and say, God said and this happened. Therefore, I was built. Therefore, this happened, this changed. I became this in my life for Jesus. Those times where you begin to look at that and say, Lord, you speak into situations and things are different. Begin to look about, you know, from that faith foundation to things that are occurring now. And actually, that might be a faith stretcher. It might be, you know, God sees the big plan. He sees where you're at, but he says, I'm going to grow you through this situation. I'm going to grow you through this moment. I'm going to grow my relationship with you. I'm going to grow your opportunity to grow in faith and to step up and to step out into your future in God. Now, that is difficult. It could be that you'll experience some growing pains like maybe some kids do. It could be that you experience the fear because you're like, God, you want me to do what? How could I do that? I can't do that. I'm only me. And God says, would you trust me? Would you believe me? And I want to tell you, this book is full of people who were in that same position. It's a stepping into moment. It's also that moment of things that are still to happen. That expectant faith, word of God. God has not finished with me yet. There's more in store. He has plans for my life.
Thank you, Lord.
Where we begin to say, where are you, Lord? But is it time, Lord? Lord, I want to see you, but I'm willing to wait. Lord, I'm willing to wait, but I'm willing to go. The moment you say. And all through it, we remember to, if you like, garnish and sprinkle our life with praise and thanks to the Lord for what he's produced, what he's producing, and what he's going to produce through the ministry of his word in and through our lives. You see, he has appointed you to fruitfulness. Nudge the person next to you as you turn to John chapter 15. Say, you're still awake, you need to hear this. He's appointed you to fruitfulness. John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus says this to his disciples in the New Testament. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, it's the best and it's the hardest lesson to learn, that apart from him, we can do nothing. Take it from me. Learn really quickly. It makes your life so much easier when you learn that apart from him, you can do nothing. You need to stay connected. You need to stay grafted. You need to stay making sure the relationship with you and the Lord is great and is right and is, you know, that you're 100% immersed in the things of God. Because he has appointed you for fruitfulness. His desire is for your life to bear much fruit. Oh, and fruit that will last, not fruit that will rot. So where are the fruitful and the kingdom productive areas of your discipleship journey right now? I'm asking a load of rhetorical questions as I bring this morning, because I really want the cogs to be turning throughout the week. And you know, you can visit this online, you know, this word again online if you're not taking notes and all of a sudden you're like, oh, maybe I need to think about this. You know, get your phone out, get your memo pad out, you know, kind of begin to get the thumbs going and listen to some of the questions. Begin to think about it, because this could be a real red letter day for your life. This could be a real pivot, a real hinge for your life and for your ministry as you ask yourself the real, maybe the hard, maybe the easy questions of, God, show me where I'm at right now. God, show me what you've been doing in my history, in my backstory. But God, show me where am I right now? But Lord, where do you want me to be? Where are the things that I can look back on and say, up to now is the Lord blessed me? He said, go and I went. He said, stop and I stayed and I was blessed. Where are those moments where you knew there was a dilemma, you knew there was a struggle, you knew there was a, should I stay or should I go? You know, do I go God's way? Do I go my own way? Do I go the world's way? And you chose to go God's way, and He blessed you. He met you. He strengthened you. He opened some doors for you in those moments. Where are those moments of prayer answered, character transformation, and being changed from glory into glory? Where are those moments of transformed thinking that Romans 12, 1 and 2 speak about, where we transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we would know God's will? I want to tell you that has to involve the Word of God. It has to involve the Word of God. Where's those moments of influencing God activated, the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God beginning to ooze out of your life, where I cause others to think about and to become more like Jesus? If right now you can't see the productiveness in your Christian life, number one, go and ask somebody that you trust. They're likely to tell you the truth. Either actually it's here, it's here, it's here, or actually there's maybe some work that needs to be done. Come on, let's go together. You know, it might be those why moments, those sins of omission. It might be why not, those sins of commission. If Scripture says, talking about spiritual battles in Ephesians chapter 6, and ultimately those spiritual battles would be to stop us from come from the enemy, would be to stop us from being all that we can be in God. And as Paul writes to the Ephesians and to the church in Ephesus, and he says, after you've done everything to stand, stand. Stand on His word. Stand under His word. Proclaim His word. But have we done everything to stand? Often reasons that we're not fruitful in our life is because we haven't done everything to stand. And the more we get into the Word of God, the more that it helps us. You know, that right at the very start of this, we read from the Scripture that said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against it. And often, you know, we forget to hide His word in our heart, and we end up sinning against Him. And the enemy's like, yes, I've got Him. After you've done everything to stand, stand. The Word of God must be productive. The Word of God, it is His pleasure. The Word of God is His pleasure, but you are His pleasure. It's from the Father to His sons and to His daughters. I want to say, it is not a chore, and neither are you a distraction for God in heaven to be active in your life. He's looking for that. He wants that. He values you. You bring a smile to His face. He is the good Father with good gifts for His children. You might want to write down Psalm 136 and Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12 in there, you know, which is starts in Matthew 7 about asking, seeking, knocking, seeking first His kingdom. Always good to do that. But then goes on to say He's a good Father. He's got good gifts in store for you. It's His pleasure. You are His pleasure. I wonder, what's your picture of God? For most of us, our image of God will be somewhere mixed up in our earthly fathers, which can be, it will be limiting at some point because our earthly dads ultimately fail us at some points, even as though many of them will be great fathers, although some might be difficult for you to have that memory. Is He the cosmic cop who wants to stop you? Is He the man in the cloud with a big stick to beat you up? Or is He the loving Father who offers you both uncompromising and unconditional love? It is holy, but it makes you whole. Lots of people speak about the love of God, but they forget that it's a holy love. It is uncompromising, but it is unconditional. That is the blessing. It is holy, but it will make you whole. It's a love that declares that sin's price is paid and His forgiveness has been won on your behalf through the cross of Jesus, through His consecration, through death and His devotion, through His resurrection and His release, and our release ultimately from sin's curse. That means that we can be equipped, and it means that we can be empowered. This is a Luke 15, prodigal son returning, kill the fattened calf, get the robe, get the ring, get the sandals moment. Our Father rejoices when sin is eradicated from our life. Our Father rejoices when we begin to realize our identity as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Our Father rejoices as we return to Him and say, Lord, I've done wrong before heaven and earth, but do you know what? I am a son. And he says, you most certainly are. Come on in, my son. Come on in, my daughter. Come on, we're going to have a party. It's going to be a big party. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. In fact, see that cow that was being kept, that calf that was being kept for that special moment. Guess what? This is that special moment. In that muddy, grubby, shame-filled, wayward son at that moment, light flickers. No doubt tears begin to stream down his unwashed, dirty, dusty face. Father hasn't forgotten me. Father's forgiveness is real. In fact, it's not just forgiveness. It's not just the base level, it's the upgrade. He blesses me. Even though I've squandered inheritance, he wants to bless me. He wants to give me position. He wants to give me responsibility. You know, will we live in those moments? Will we let the Word of God have those moments in our life? The Word of God is laden with purpose. This is the God who in Genesis spoke and things that were not came into being. I love the fact that Father God, through His Word, through the power of His Word, has a let there be moment for your life. Sometimes you think the things that you're facing is too big for God. Sometimes you think that there's no way that God could do it. I want to tell you, if God can say let there be in things that were not come into being, then there's a let there be moment for you that means nothing formed against you shall prosper. That means whatever you're facing, that God's got it, and God's got a solution for it, and God will be able to see you through it because His Word is fruitful. It cannot return to Him empty. It's got to achieve the plan and the purpose that He's got for it. Will we believe it, church? If God wants to speak into my life, I need to be ready to listen. I mean, sorry, this is really simple. I'm sorry for, you know, kind of, it's the obvious, but it really kind of hit me during the week. And Elaine's touched on it this morning. How often do we wait on the Lord? Not just when we're in here together, you know, in corporate cell, but in our life and in the busyness of a society that goes at 100 miles another. How do we dial down in order to dial up to Heavenly Father? How do we come to Him and not just have that shopping list of prayer requests that, God, I've got to get through this so I can get on to the next thing? How do we make sure that we're not in those periods, those times where it's no earth to heaven monologue? I mean, if there's to be a monologue, a one-way conversation, I think it's going to be better for us if it's coming heaven to earth rather than earth to heaven. If we have that microwave, ping me an answer in 2 minutes, God, attitude. Something has to change. The Bible talks about waiting on the Lord, waiting on His Word. Just want to say, if His Word is so laden with purpose and His purpose is for us, for me to live out, then I dare not treat it cheaply. I need to invest in the Word of God and wait in the Word of God. Because as I do it, I will prosper as it's active in my life. Now prosper doesn't mean that as I step out of here, that Aston Martin is waiting for me. Although, I'm open to the possibility. It is not meaning that there's going to be that extra zero isn't going to be at the start of your paycheck rather than at the end of it or anything like that. Prosper is excelling in God's purposes. You know, you can have very little in the bank, but you can be prospering in the things of God. You may feel as though you've got nothing that you're able to contribute, but as you live for Him, you can prosper in the Word of God, as you let the Word of God find that resting place in your life. New King James Version of verse 11 says, "It shall not return to me void, will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God wants His Word to prosper in your life. He wants to prosper you through His Word in His purpose for His life. As His Word is unstoppable, so your ministry becomes unstoppable too. I love what Morna said when she was at the turning. You know, one of the things in the street evangelism that goes on there that you pronounce is somebody prays a prayer of salvation and coming to Jesus on the streets, that you as the person would say, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And more I would say, I'd never thought myself as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Minister just means servant. It's another word to serve. But we're called and we're appointed for fruitfulness. We're called to have God prosper us in the ministry and the thing that he wants us to minister to the needs of others. Your ministry, whatever it may be, is unstoppable. Unstoppable cleaner. Unstoppable tea server. Unstoppable prayer. Unstoppable helper. Unstoppable encourager. Unstoppable prayer. Unstoppable preacher. Unstoppable healing evangelist. Whatever it may be, prophet, apostle, pastor, whatever it may be, his ministry with you is unstoppable. Don't believe the enemy's lie that it's stopped and that you're stopped. There's a reason that the gates of hell can't prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. It's because the word become flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ is building it, and he is unstoppable. Unstoppable is laden with purpose and the Father's good pleasure. The Father's intended outcome for your life as you look back in the end of your days would be, say, mission accomplished. Do you know what it was for his son? So he cried, it is finished. And you can too. You can hear those words at the end of your days. Well done, good and faithful servant. I mean, I'm hoping that those words are way, way, way in the distance. Way, way, way decades in the distance for you and also for me. You know, but I want to live my life right now, for if I was to step into eternity, that God wouldn't be giving it. Gordon, look what you could have won. You know, I don't want one of those ones. You know, I want to be living in the fullness of God. I want to see the Word of God that's living and active coming and being in my life. I want to see this unstoppable Word producing fruit in my life and fruit that will last, because I believe that as it overflows from my life into your life and then into others' life, that we can truly see the kingdom of God coming in our city. Isaiah 55 verses 8 to 11, it's all about the revelation of the highest authority, the ultimate creativity, and the never-ending love of the unstoppable Word of God. When Jesus, who is the Word, became flesh, when he spoke, people were amazed because he spoke as one with authority, because he was the Word. Jesus, who commissioned the disciples in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20, and declared, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. Yeah. When we pray in the name of Jesus, that's not just a nice, fancy way for us to, you know, to round off a prayer. It's because there is authority in the name of Jesus. There is authority for us to be bestowing, flowing in as we pray. It's a faith-stirring, hope-building moment for us. It's recognizing that his word becomes our words as we minister in the life of others, as we pray and as we minister in the name of Jesus. It's invoking the power of the highest name as we minister in the full authority as adopted sons and daughters of God, but flowing out of intimacy of relationship with the Father. Let me say that again. Invoking the power of the highest name as we minister in the full authority as adopted sons and daughters of God, but flowing out of the intimacy of relationship with the Father. If you've been living in captivity, in your thinking, in your lifestyle, in your situation, your circumstances, I want to leave you with this word. Blexit. That's an L and not an R before people look for things to throw at me. Isaiah speaks to the nation of Israel and says, it's time to exit blessed. It is time to get up. It is time to get ready. It is time to move out with the blessing of God. Now, please don't read that. Biblically, I'm not talking politically right now. I'm making no declaration as to my position on any of that right now. But he wants you to exit that captivity situation blessed. He wants you walking in the fullness of God. Oh, I feel as though I need a shovel to dig some deeper. Listen, let me read the word of God. That'll always redeem. I made you laugh. I've got another 5 minutes out of this. Right. Verses 12 and 13, you'll go out with joy. We'll be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills are going to burst into song before you. All the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, there will grow the pine trees. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. I tell you, we've got a world that's looking for joy and looking for peace and hasn't found it yet. Hasn't found it yet. And as you move out from a place of captivity through the power of the word of God being active in your life, I want to tell you, you will go out with joy and you'll be led forth with peace. That's not just so that you can have some happy, clappy, whoop-de-doop moment of worship and praise and say, isn't God good? It's so that those who haven't got it can see what you've got and say, can I get some of that? I need joy, I need peace. Where's it found? It's found in the word of God, it's found in the Son of God, it's found through the power of God, it's found through returning to your Heavenly Father. Would you want to bow your knee and give your life to Jesus? Yes. It can be as easy, it can be as simple, or as difficult as we want to make it. Will we let his word in our life bring us to a place where we will be led forth, or going out in joy and being led forth in peace? We become that signpost to other people. It's a picture of rejoicing at the return from slavery and of the restoration of the desolate areas. Thorns and briars would either grow in the wilderness or would grow in places that were once occupied that had been left neglected. So the word of God becomes maybe active again in your life. Places where there were thorns and briars, pine begins to grow. Briars is replaced by myrtle. It's a place of the presence. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place of remembering who God is. Of letting the seed of the word begin to flourish. Of believing that he is an overcoming God who can overcome even the most difficult of your situation. I wonder, would you let this unstoppable word restore, rejoice, release, and rescue from your slavery situations? We serve an active God. God who's active in a word, and his word is active. His word is looking for a fruitful resting place in our lives, right here and right now. Yeah. As I've, to the best, or, well, take a vote on that, of my ability, presented that to you today, what are you going to do with this unstoppable word?
Hallelujah.
Are you going to try and contain something that you cannot contain? Yep. Are you going to try and compromise something that will not be compromised? Or are you going to say, do you know what, God, you've got me. You found me and you've got me. I'm yours. Let's bow our heads. We're going to pray. We're going to have a moment of just allowing Father to minister into our lives and into our situations. We're going to, you know, have that. Worship team, would you come back and would you just join me? Thank you for listening so well. We're just going to pray right now. We're going to go into time in a moment of our response before the Lord. As we do so, I would just invite you to check out your life. Only you will know where you're living at, how your life's doing, where you are in relationship to the Word of God and the fruitfulness of the Word of God from what I've said and what I've spoken. And I believe that right now, Father God is coming by his Holy Spirit and he's knocking on the door of some lives. Maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus. And the first way is always to come back to him. To be restored in your relationship, to let the word of God be fruitful. And if today you're in this place and you've never said yes to Jesus, but you're saying, do you know what? I need this relationship with God as my Heavenly Father. I need to get right with God because there's sin in my life that needs to be dealt with. Then I would invite you to pray a prayer that goes something like this. Father God, thank you that you love me. Father God, thank you for your word.
that is full of purpose, that will help me to understand who you are and who I am. Thank you for your Son, King Jesus, who died on the cross, so that I could be forgiven my sin, so that I could get to know you as Father, and to live out your best and your plans for my life. Father, I'm sorry for the things that I have done in my past that your word describes as sin. I give my life to you. And thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life for me. Thank you that you died so that my punishment could be taken from me, and that instead I receive the gifts of forgiveness, of joy, of peace, and of a relationship with the Creator God, who is Father. Lord, I choose to follow you now with all that I am, all that I have, and all that I will be. I want to become a follower of Jesus. Help me by your Holy Spirit to live that out. Today, I give my life to you, Lord. Amen. If you prayed that prayer while every head is bowed, while there's nobody watching around about, please, I'd like to ask you to do a really simple thing, and that's just put your hand up and take it back down again. In doing that, you're indicating, Gordon, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. We've got some folks who at the end would love to give you some material, some literature.
One of the ways that you can get involved, get connected, and pray is by joining in with something called Engage Prayer. We've got this crazy dream to gather thousands of people across the Elim movement on one night online to pray together with Elim for the kingdom, for a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. This autumn, we will be hosting Elim's first ever online interactive prayer and worship gathering. Please be part of the story. Come on, let's make history. Let's make the most of prayer. Let's pray.